Well, we as a church are entering into a busy time in our corporate life. I've mentioned already today that we have the sacraments scheduled several times in weeks to come. But I also want to remind us that we need to be in a time of reflection and prayer as a church as we think about the matter of who will be our shepherds, or more precisely, who will be Christ's under-shepherds in our lives. This congregation currently has six elders. We have five ruling elders and one teaching elder. The Lord has laid it on the heart of the session to call for the election of an additional ruling elder in the congregation. And we'll anticipate doing that just about a little over a month from now. And so I want to encourage us today to take some time to reflect. I'll be talking to the elders in particular today. They're a little bit on the hot seat here. But I want all of us as a congregation to be thinking about what are the duties of this office. Both what do you do, but also how do you do it? And then next week, we want to focus on even the deeper question, who are elders? Who ought elders to be? I want you to notice today that there are the apostles and there are the elders. In my understanding of the scriptures at this point, the apostles were those whom Christ himself had appointed as his eyewitnesses. That certainly in the case of the 12, remember when Peter encourages the 11 to replace Judas, who had betrayed Christ, he lays out this criteria that they were with him from his baptism at the Jordan until his ascension into glory. And that apparently was the ordinary requirement for one to be an apostle. They had to be an eyewitness to those things. Christ himself, remember, appointed Paul. And Paul was that 13th apostle that played such an important part in the formation of the New Testament. But I want us to note the close association in Acts 15 of the apostles and the elders. And it's this word that now the writers of the New Testament will land on as they're going to places and they're beginning churches. And they are, quote, appointing elders, plural, in every place, singular. We see an important principle in the New Testament of the plurality of elders. I'll remind you that when you come to Topeka Reformed Presbyterian Church, you're coming to Topeka Reformed Elder Church. The word Presbyterian is just the transliteration of the Greek word for elder. So we need to be reminded today, and I want to exhort you to think carefully about the biblical role of the elder. Number one, in the corporate life of the church, but also in your own personal spiritual development. Do you know the elders? Do the elders know you? When I came here to this congregation just about a little less than nine years ago, one of the things that I was reminded, in fact, by the session itself is, hey, as we've done some internal evaluation, there are people who would like to see the elders take a more active role in the spiritual lives of the congregation. We've tried to implement that encouragement. Sometimes more, sometimes less. Again, there are some who click very naturally with an elder or with the elder, with the session as a whole, and that's an easy and that's a simple relationship. The elders have duties. We're going to look at those today. But I want to just remind you that you also, in this passage, have a duty as a member of the congregation. And that's not always an easy duty. It says at the end of this passage, it says, that likewise you who are younger be subject to the elders. And then it reminds all of us, elders and members alike, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. So let's look at this passage in more detail today. First of all, I want to remind us that if anyone could have claim to be the one to carry the mantle of the authority of Jesus, it was the Apostle Peter. He's probably one of the older of the apostles. Jesus had lived in his home. His own mother-in-law had been healed by Christ. He had been there. He had been unfaithful, but he had been forgiven and restored by Christ himself. And yet in his letter to the elect exiles, chapter 1, verse 1, he presents himself in the humble authority of, quote, a fellow elder. There's no pope here. There's no vicar of Christ. There's no Vatican. There's none of those trappings of authority. What we have is the Apostle Peter himself saying, I exhort the elders, now elders, you're officially on the hot seat, among you as a fellow elder. And then there's this addition, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Here is Peter pointing to the essence of his apostolic office, that he is an eyewitness of the sufferings of Christ. And then, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, he saw, friends, the incarnate Son of God walk in our midst. Can you imagine being those who had come to know of Christ through Peter's words, how this would stir your heart? Oh yeah, these guys saw it. They heard it. They touched him. He touched them. He ministered to them. Friends, 2,000 years on, does that become strangely dim to you? Peter is an eyewitness to the cross of Calvary. And now he is exhorting not only the elders of the first century church, but the elders of Topeka Reformed Presbyterian Church. And look at how he instructs them, how he guides elders and the congregation into the duties of elders. Today we want to look at the duties of the elders, and then next week we want to look at the character of the elder. So point number one here, and that is that elders must exercise oversight effectively. Look at verse 2. It says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. So here Peter is taking us back to what for all of his readers would be a very familiar trope, a very familiar theme of the Old Testament. Sometime get out your phone or get out your Strong's Concordance or whatever and just do a word study on the word shepherd. It is used hundreds of times throughout the Old Testament. It's remarkable to see the shepherding. God is a shepherd. The elders are shepherds. Shepherds shepherd sheep. And there's lots and lots of ways that the Bible is leading us to think about this calling of shepherding. And so that is really, I think, the heart of this call. Shepherd the flock of God. That's the big idea that now Peter is going to flesh out. But notice that he moves quickly from shepherding the flock of God that is among you to a very particular aspect of that. Now, this is translated in two words in English, but it's only one word in Greek, and it's the word, it's the participle form of episkopos, to have oversight, to exercise oversight. And I think this is a good translation here. This is to look out. Skopos is the Greek word for sight, and epi is to kind of on or over. And so the idea of looking out and looking over, of being aware, it is the responsibility, brother elders, for you to exercise oversight. There is an effective kind of oversight that tells the sheep, I love you and I care for you. And there is a kind of oversight that says, oh yeah, sorry. So again, duty of elders is to exercise oversight effectively. And then, let me shift. This is not directly in our text here, but I want to remind you that your elders cannot read your minds. They cannot know your hearts. There are long periods of time where my Christian life is relatively tranquil, and then sometimes, friends, in a moment, I am in over my head, and I need help. And you know what most people do at that point? They stop coming to church. It's like they curl up into the fetal position and say, help, to their own heart. And they don't need help from their own heart at that moment. They need help from their shepherd. They need help from Jesus, and they need help from the one that Jesus has appointed to care for them here on earth where we live. This is the heart, I think, of this passage. The under-shepherd is called to oversight. This oversight is to be exercised. It is to be practiced. Help your elders know how to shepherd you better. Some of you love to get notes or emails. Some of you love to have your elder in your home. Some of you like to just shake their hand on Sunday. Some of you want to have lots of shepherding. Some of you are like, whoa, don't crowd me. Help your elder know how to shepherd well. This is an important part of the duties of shepherding. Westminster Confession 25:3 says, Christ has given the ministry, oracles, and ordinances of God to his visible church for the gathering and perfecting of the saints in this life to the end of the world. By his own presence and spirit, according to his promises, Christ makes them effective in their work. It's Christ, friends, by his presence and by his spirit in our midst that makes shepherding happen. When you love Jesus, it's relatively easy to love your elders. When you're far from Christ and your elders come knocking, the temptation is to run away. Friends, we need to be overseen as sheep. Point number two this morning, elders ought to feel the call of God to this work. Look with me at the rest of this verse. It says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Now, in our church, we don't have too much problem with the shameful gain part, because all of our ruling elders, at least, serve by volunteer. But notice that there is a very important principle here in this passage. The eldership is not a place to get rich. It's not a place to amass to yourself. Rather, it is a place to serve willingly according to the will of God. Serving as an elder is not easy. I remember hearing a number of years ago, I went to a men's conference, and it was a sermon with 3 points. Sheep are disrespectful, sheep are dirty, and sheep are dumb. Now, I'm not saying those things about any of you, but I will remind you that the Bible calls you sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him all our iniquity. Sheep are not easy to shepherd. Sheep need to know their shepherd, and the shepherd needs to know the sheep. He also needs to know what the sheep need, and that sometimes is difficult. Remember that we are called brother elders to lead the sheep to green pastures, to quiet waters. Souls need to be restored. Think of Psalm 23 as ultimately it's not your elder that is your shepherd, but Christ, who is the chief shepherd. This is why the session has asked me to preach on this matter of the church eldership. In part, it is in order that qualified candidates might not be under compulsion, but that they might consider the call of God, and that the Holy Spirit might lead them to serve willingly. So this matter of the heart, what's the motivation both for taking up this office, but also for continuing faithfully in this office? It's helped me immensely to distinguish between the external call. The external call is the call made by the church. That's what we'll vote on when it comes to that election. I believe it's June 5th. As we think about what we as a congregation will make out a call to an elder, if the Lord should lead us in that direction. But that's only an external call. That's a fallible call. That's a call by the church. But notice what it says here, that you should serve not because you're compulsed to, not because you're asked or manipulated to. You should serve willingly because that is what God would have you do. We all need to have this aspect in our lives, that we do the things we do not because we have to, but because it's the will of God. Do you delight to do the will of God? Or do you kind of grit your teeth and say, fine, whatever, and then do the will of God on the outside, but with a heart that is hardened? Well, this leads us to the third point this morning, and that is that elders ought to wear their authority lightly. Elders ought to wear their authority lightly. Now, I struggle with this one, I'm still pondering. There may be a better way to state this, but it's in verse 3 is what we have here. It says, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. There is a real authority, and we'll see that as we go on here. But I want us to see that there is a real authority here. But that what can happen is the elder, especially a younger elder, especially an elder that is newer to the faith, can get this message. Oh, you mean I'm in charge? Like I get to tell the sheep what to do. I remember my dear professor, Dr. Denny Pruto, saying to us young men in seminary, he had this kind of crooked finger, and when he got really intense, he would lean over his podium and he would get this finger going and he would say, men, there's a difference between a shepherd and a cowboy. A shepherd leads the flock by example. A cowboy drives the herd by a whip. And I've always remembered that. Friends, do you have shepherds or do you have cowboys? Are you grateful for the shepherds that God gives you? Do you see the voice and the heart of Christ in the shepherding of the shepherds of the church? They are not trying to take you to themselves. They are trying to take you to Christ, where alone there is eternal salvation. Friends, the older we get, the more we see the eternal stakes here. I went with my son yesterday and we drove through a cemetery here in town. And we had a wonderful opportunity to talk and think together about death and about eternal life and about how you enter into eternal life. And I was reminding him, there's that birth date and there's that death date and there's that hyphen in between. And son, your whole life is summarized in that hyphen. We're here for a moment. We are but a breath. And then we pass into our eternal home, into our eternal state. Oh, friends, elders need to wear their authority lightly. Notice, Peter tells us exactly how to do this. Being examples to the flock. It's the long-term example. It's the modeling of godliness that is so helpful here. You should know that the word example here is literally the word mark. It's the same word used. I don't have this in your notes there, but in John 20, verse 25, it's exactly the same Greek word when Thomas says, unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails. How do you impact the body of Christ as an elder? By being a mark to the flock. Barry York has written a book called The Marks of the Church. Some of us are studying through this right now. I shared with the class a few weeks ago, but Barry sent me a copy of this book. I did an internship with Barry, and he encouraged me to seek God's blessing as you seek to mark the church. And he was using the word mark in a way I hadn't thought about before, that the marks of the church are not just, oh yeah, these are things, but that we, friends, ought to be marking one another. This is part of this idea of the love of the body for one another. The love of Christ marks us, and therefore the love of your elders ought to mark you. When you have questions, go to them. If you find the elders are up in your business a little bit saying, hey, what's happening here? We haven't seen you for a long time. Or how are your son and daughter doing? Or how can we be praying for you? See the interest and the love of Christ drawing near to you in those that oversight of your elders. But I say elders ought to wear their authority lightly. And brothers, what we need to wield above all is the power of an enduring example of godliness. Think of those who have served this congregation for decades. Those who, even in their retirement, are examples of godliness to this congregation. Friends, the examples that you look at will have a lot to do with who you wind up being. Who are your examples? Who are you looking to and saying, I aspire to be like that? Oh, friends, look to the example of your elders. Fourthly, elders serve the chief shepherd and are promised a reward. This is where we now see Peter step back from the shepherding role and remind you that shepherds are, whenever you hear that word in the context of human leadership, shepherds are just under shepherds. Remind yourself of that. Because there is always a chief shepherd. And this is the one we see in verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Notice, first of all, there's a reward promised to faithful shepherds here. The chief shepherd is watching. Indeed, it is the chief shepherd who possesses the sheep. Imagine if your boss had a large inventory and he entrusted you to be the caretaker and the security guard for that inventory, and you got the impression that now you owned the inventory. And you began to take that inventory out and do your own thing with it. And the owner of the company would come to you and say, excuse me. I hired you to watch over my stuff, not to use my stuff. This is my stuff, and you are the security guard. I own it. Let's be clear about that. But friends, it is possible for elders to forget their role. They are not the fathers, the mothers. They are not the lords and masters. They are not the kings and queens of the church. They are just elders. And they serve the chief elder, the bishop of your souls, the overseer of your souls. And so, look to the chief shepherd. Look to how your under shepherds are looking to the chief shepherd. Look at how they're seeking to protect you from the wolves that would come in and ravish your soul. Look and understand the love that the under-shepherds have for the chief shepherd and for the sheep. And this leads us then to the fifth point this morning in verse 5. Elders ought to serve with humble authority. I want you to see that in this verse, both of these truths are present. Verse 5, likewise, you who are younger. This is always Paul's transition. He'll say wives, and then he'll say likewise husbands, and then he'll say likewise children. And this is the word that it seems the apostles use when they're linking related ideas together. He's been talking to the elders, and now he turns to the church. And look at how he refers to the church. Likewise, you who are younger. Likewise, younglings. Remember, the word elder means oldlings. The elders, and now there's the younglings. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. This is where we see the note of authority, that Christ entrusted the keys of his kingdom to the apostles in that first century church. And friends, it is my conviction that that same authority, not the same, not the identical authority, but a portion of that authority of the keys of the kingdom is entrusted to the plurality of elders in the church. There are times, and as a minister, I've tried to grow into this. I hope my progress is evident. When I need to consciously wrap myself with the awesome authority of Jesus Christ and recognize that I, at that moment, am Christ's ambassador in this situation. And if I don't do my job, the eternal well-being of a soul is at stake. And I need to come in the name of Christ as a shepherd of souls with responsibility. And because I love you, I must rebuke you. I must correct you. I must call you to repentance. I must, in my office as an elder, vote for the excommunication of you from the visible church. Oh, friends, do you feel the weight of that? For those of you who are outside of the visible church, do you feel the alienation that is there? It's in the community. It's in the flock that the shepherd's oversight is present. To be a lone sheep is to be eaten by wolves. To be outside the church is to be outside of the place where the means of grace are ministered and are transforming the hearts of God's people. There's a real authority in the church. But notice, even here, Peter is careful to temper this authority with the call to humility. He uses the phrase, all of you, that is, the elders and the younglings, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. You don't know everything. You don't know the deep and secret things of people's hearts. What you do know is what God has revealed in his authoritative and inspired word. What you do know is, to whatever degree that you've built a relationship with this person, then you know their heart, and you know what they're struggling with, and you know their temperament. And friends, we need humility. I hope you see and feel that humility from your elders. Brothers, we need to remember that we are not infallible, but we also need to remember that we are entrusted with the well-being of this particular flock, and Jesus will come visiting. We must be faithful in our duties. There's real submission required in verse 5. The elder is taught to exercise oversight for the glory of God. But here the younger person is taught to be subject for the glory of God. At the end of the day, it's the glory of God that brings these two, humility and authority, together. It's when those who are in authority are humble in the exercise of their authority, and when the body of Christ is humble. I am young. I don't know it all. I have questions. And I want answers. I'm going to come to those who are the shepherds of Christ's church. Friends, in this passage, God is establishing clear roles within the church. The same way we believe that God establishes roles in marriage, God is establishing roles in Christ's church. There is a leadership and there is a followership. There is an authority and there is a subjection. Do you subject yourself? I'll remind you that your elders are also members of this church. This is something that we reflect on every once in a while, and I want to remind us that even the elders are in elder fellowship groups. Every elder has another elder in the church that is overseeing them. One of the most blessed things that happens, usually it's November or early December that our family gets an elder and a deacon visit. And it's a reminder to me that, yes, I am a Presbyterian. I'm not up here on some mountaintop by myself, or my family is up on this mountaintop in some category by ourselves. No, we're members of the body of Christ. And then the session meetings come and I'm reminded, oh yes, and I have oversight as well from the elders of the church. And what a good thing that is. The chief shepherd is establishing normal and proper sheep behavior and shepherd behavior in the flock that belongs to him. Let's close together in prayer. Oh Lord, how we thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for the flock of God that is entrusted here in this place. We ask, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us. Bless us in these things. We'll give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen.